Now, the theme that, and often a moderator will have a theme that is being followed during the year. And the theme for my year as moderator is Everyday Disciples. And the Presbyterian Church in Ireland had a special conference back in August up in the north in Coleraine, under that heading, Everyday Disciples. And for that, I had this little 31-day devotional booklet prepared. And I have been distributing these as we have been journeying around the country and visiting congregations. I've asked different people to contribute to this. Florence and I have a contribution in it. And some of my friends, some who minister to us in Hollywood, and others whom I have formed friendship with during my years of ministry, have contributed to this. And it's a little booklet to encourage people to form the routine or habit of reading their Bible and praying day by day. I'm sure many of you do that, but maybe there may be a few who may not within this congregation this morning. And on each page is a little Bible reading, a thought for the day, and a prayer. And so I have some of these with me, and if you'd like to receive one afterwards, just ask me for one. You may wish to use it yourself. You may wish to give it to someone and to encourage them to maybe form the habit or return to the habit of reading and having devotions each day. Or you could use it as a means of encouraging someone to think about their walk with Jesus. And as I said, this is the theme, and it's the theme that I'm taking up for our sermon this morning. And we are, if we are Christians and we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we are called to be everyday disciples wherever we are. We are to see our home, the office, the building site, the bank, the school staff room, the coffee shop, the gym, as the place where we who are followers of Jesus Christ are, have a mark to make, so to speak, an impression to form, a seed to sow. The best evangelical witness we can make is where the skeptics are, because they are not going to enter the church building to hear about Jesus. And so the context of mission is where they are and where we rub shoulders with them. And as we look at this passage this morning from John's Gospel, and you may wish to turn it up again in the Bible in the pews on page 1064 and 1064. First of all, we see this call to come and see. And you see, Jesus is forming, so to speak, his college of students, the disciples. He is the rabbi, the teacher. And the Jewish rabbi formed a small cluster of disciples around him as pupils whom they mentored. Christ was conforming to the well-established open university form of education, and he was beginning his I'm not getting that word this morning, sorry about that. Well, registering as pupils or students. And the process was going. And the students were signing and joining the school. The school of the Nazarene. It seems, as we read the story of how the disciples got on board, that there was some excitement about following Jesus, the Lamb of God. Andrew had been so bowled over by what he heard that he couldn't wait to find his brother Simon. And he shared the best news, the good news. We have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. I think that's a tremendous statement in that story. What a tremendous statement at the beginning of verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. What a wonderful commendation ascribed to anyone that a person brought someone else to Jesus. And this is the supreme missionary desire of the Christian, that we could bring someone to Jesus. There is the story told by the Reverend Alex White of Edinburgh. It's about a commercial traveller called Rigby. He was quiet, and like most of us, find it difficult to talk about his faith. But when he was visiting Edinburgh in Scotland, he always gathered or attended St. George's Church. And when leaving the hotel, he would always invite someone to accompany him. And one morning, the friend he asked to accompany him was quite angry. He went, and by evening, the irate man came and asked Rigby to attend with him. The man, who was reluctant to go in the morning, invited Rigby then to go again with him in the evening. And that night, the visitor was so impressed by the preaching that he committed himself to Christ. The next day, Rigby was passing Reverend White's manse, and by some impulse, he called at the door, and he told Mr. White about what had happened to his friend. White thanked him for the encouragement and asked what he said his name was. He told him, Rigby, that he had been, and so the minister says to him, look, I've been looking for you for years. And he took Rigby aside to his study and he showed him a bundle of letters that told the stories of how people had come to know Christ as a result of Rigby inviting them to church. Rigby the traveller had brought many to Jesus by what seemed to be a very insignificant invite to come with him to church. In the age of the 21st century, scepticism about anything associated with the church, it may seem naive to think that people will come to church with us. But that shouldn't extinguish our desire to bring someone to Jesus, to have a passion for the gospel, and to influence our friends, our work colleagues, and show them Christ. We see in verse 43, Philip also took up the invitation to follow Jesus, and he joined a trio of disciples and sought out another friend, Nathanael. These men, including Nathanael, were devout Jews. They were committed to the law, the Torah. They read and learned of large portions of the prophetic scriptures. And the trio were convinced the one whom the prophets wrote had been found. Or more accurately, in the providence of God, the Messiah had found them. In verse 45, they had found the one Moses wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Verse 46 conveys what is one of the discouraging parts of the story of grace. When you think about it, seriously, it is one of the depressing statements. And I think it's a frustrating, sectarian reaction. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? But we see, secondly, Nathanael the skeptic. A prejudiced skeptic. Why was Nathanael so skeptical and so dismissal of Jesus? What was so bad about Nazareth? Well, Nazareth was an insignificant place which had, according to most locals, very little of any kind of reputation. It occupied primarily the side of a hill and was established on the southern hills of the mountain range of Lebanon and on the northern end of the fertile valley. The main town in the area was Sepphoris, which was the cultural centre of the area. Nathanael had really no place in Israel's history. It had never been mentioned in the Old Testament. In fact, its fame comes from the 27 references in the New Testament, of which they are mostly describing Jesus as being from Nazareth. Nathanael painted the residence, or possibly more like it was, or possibly more likely, the Jewish community as second-class citizens. whatever the reason Nathanael was skeptical about anything to do with Nazareth. And this kind of skepticism and even intellectual snobbery isn't a first century phenomenon, but a sorry fact with every generation of humanity. Some people, certain nationalities, specific neighborhoods, have always looked down on other people, of being on the wrong side of the tracks, or on the wrong side of the fence. We find that in our society, generally, wherever we may come from. The Presbyterian Church in Ireland has a strong link with the Reverend Peter Gay, who tells about how his people and Christians in the Presbyterian Church of South Sudan have suffered. Villages wiped out, communities and churches lost because a section of the country have decided there's nothing good or of worth about the Christians or people who are different from them. And there are those in our society of the 21st century who hold a sceptical view of Christianity. Many people view Christianity much like Nathanael viewed Nazareth. And when you claim to be a Christian, they will, roll their eyes behind your back, will point the finger and snigger. I have spoken to people regularly who tell me, I have done the church thing. I grew up with it. I concluded in my teens, it's not for me. I made up my mind. So Jesus is, according to their position, still from Nazareth. But then we see 30 in this story, a persuaded disciple. How did Nathanael's skepticism convert so quickly? First, Jesus welcomed him and recognized his genuine Jewish devotion. There was nothing false about Nathanael. Literally, the translation should be, there was no guile in him. A conversation starts, and Jesus said he saw him under the fig tree. Was this significant? No, possibly. The fig tree was very valuable in Israel, a precious tree. A valley of fig trees produced wealth. It was grown often among vines as an alternative crop. And it also provided welcome shelter from the sun. It was used by rabbis to sit under and read the Torah or the scriptures. Is that why Nathanael was under the fig tree? He had been reading the scriptures. And Nathanael's conversion was sudden. He amazingly received Jesus as the Son of God. I'm not quite sure what went on intellectually for Nathanael to produce such a dramatic transformation, but it was experiencing Jesus in person and his warmth and love that moved him from skepticism to believing in the Christ. In these days of skepticism, the arguments are hard to win. But the personal witness, what we are, and how we share the gospel story can move skeptics to believers. And thank God every day we are given opportunities to show Jesus in our lives. Do you know skeptics? Don't argue or despair, but be. Mahatma Gandhi, the great Indian revolutionary, was once asked by a missionary, what must Christians do to win India for the Lord Jesus Christ? And Gandhi replied, firstly, let Christians live like Jesus Christ. Many of us here today will be traveling and working among non-Christians people this coming week. I hope you do have friends who are not church-going people, who you can, like the trio of disciples in John's Gospel, invite to come. And I will do my best to show you Jesus. And this is our challenge and our commitment to Christ as everyday disciples and followers, to demonstrate and speak of Jesus. And if we have prejudices like Nathaniel, we have to see beyond them. And everyone is someone Christ loves. Nathaniel was persuaded, and he finds something that was beyond his dream in Nazareth. The skeptic can be persuaded by a faithful witness to Jesus.